Earlier this offseason, the New Orleans Saints made headlines by bringing Jarvis Landry and Tyrann Mathieu back to the state of Louisiana, but they're not the only Louisiana natives that could make headlines in this year's offseason training camp. The wide receiver whose name you need to know, we got all of that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to Louisiana Sports Writers Association's number two sports podcast in the great state of Louisiana, Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget that we are free and available on all podcast apps and on YouTube as well. And of course, I am your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter. You can find me every day over at USA Today Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL, and here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. And on today's episode of Locked On Saints, I want to help you get ready for training camp. New Orleans Saints rookies will report to training camp on July 19th, with veterans expected to report around the 26th. What does it all mean? When do they actually get started? What should you expect? And I want to lead off with the big training camp standout that I expect to make a lot of headlines this season. Every year, there's a training camp standout in New Orleans Saints camp. You think a couple years back to Emmanuel Butler, a couple years back, Juwan Johnson. You look at Tre'Quan Smith was also that guy. It's oftentimes a pass catcher, but sometimes you see some defensive players that rise to the top of that conversation as well. We certainly saw that with Paulson Adebo last year. Now, this year, I think it's going to go back to wide receiver. I think the tide swings back to wide receiver. And if there's one name to remember as a guy that could potentially make waves in New Orleans Saints training camp this year, it's former Nickel State wide receiver, undrafted free agent rookie, Dajon Dixon. I've talked about him here on the show before as somebody that I think is one of maybe the three or four UDFA rookies that could potentially make the roster, which of course now includes the practice squad. Because remember, as a practice squad member, you can now be elevated three times to the game day roster, which doesn't include COVID elevations, right? If your team is dealing with any COVID infections, anything like that, you can still elevate a player from the practice squad. It doesn't count against that count. But if you're a standard game day elevation, you get three this year instead of two, and you can keep 16 players on the practice squad still. Eight of them can be veterans. But I think Dajon Dixon is a guy that even as a rookie is going to be able to crack something at some point this season. And training camp is going to be a big part of that. 6'3", 200 plus pounds. He fits the New Orleans Saints mold as a big bodied wide receiver that can have some inside outside versatility and has shown a penchant and an acuity to be able to make an impact, not only in the passing game, but also in the run game and in special teams. So if he can show the New Orleans Saints that he is a multifaceted player that can have an impact across multiple, let's just call them phases of the game, right? Run game, passing game, special teams. Then all of a sudden, he becomes a guy that either challenges for the last open spot at wide receiver. Let's say the Saints keep six wide receivers. Could he and like Tre'Quan Smith as another blocking guy that can line up in line, that knows the system really well? If Dajon Dixon picks up the playbook very well and shows a similar penchant for success as Tre'Quan Smith in the run game, but also shows that he can be a better contributor in the passing game while also being somebody that can contribute pretty well in special teams, then all of a sudden, does he push a guy like Tre'Quan Smith for that sixth spot if the Saints decide to keep six wide receivers as opposed to five? I think your five wide receivers are pretty much set. I think those guys are Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, Chris Olave, Deonte Hardy, and Marquez Callaway. I think those guys are pretty solid. I mean, I would call Deonte Hardy a lock at this point and say maybe four of those five are locked. I have a hard time seeing Marquez Callaway not on this roster this year after what he showed you he could be last year, which was well beyond what Tre'Quan Smith, who got similar opportunities, ever had the ability to show you that he could provide you on the offensive side, even in roles where he was stepping into the Michael Thomas X receiver role. I think Marquez Callaway actually did a better job at that last year than Tre'Quan Smith has over his time with four different quarterbacks as well. So I think all of that kind of, or maybe three different quarterbacks, I guess you can say. But I think all of that really qualifies as a means to an end for Marques Callaway, that like he should be on the roster in 2022. So do the Saints limit it to that, or do they look for a six wide receiver? And could Dejon Dixon out of Nickel State be the guy that ends up pushing for that spot? If not, he would be a valuable practice squad member that would see some of those game day elevations based on matchup. Let's say the Saints are going up against a weak secondary like the Atlanta Falcons week one, and they want to be able to roll out more wide receiver packages and bigger bodied wide receiver packages. And so then you call up Dejon Dixon as a practice squad member to the active roster against the Atlanta Falcons, for instance, and then you're able to roll out a lineup that could include Michael Thomas, it could include Jarvis Landry, it can include Marques Callaway and Dejon Dixon as your kind of four wide receivers in either a four wide out set or an empty backfield, and then maybe you throw Juwan Johnson or Adam Trautman out there as well. And so you have a lot of different things that you can now generate with those big bodied receivers that show you that they can do a little bit of everything. Inside, outside, they can pass, catch, they can run block. He's not a guy that's going to do a lot after the catch, which is okay. That's not what this New Orleans Saints offense seems to be very concerned about. Chris Olave, the one ding you're always going to hear about him is that he's not electrifying with the ball in his hand. And that's okay, because he's electrifying before the ball hits his hands. So he gets the opportunity to be able to create all of that separation downfield. Dejon Dixon is not a burner. He ran in maybe like the 4.6s, but he understands leverage and knows how to use it. The idea of stacking a defensive back and utilizing your leverage downfield is something that Dejon Dixon does very well. When we talk about stacking, we mean when you beat a DB, sometimes you beat that DB by either going to the outside or the inside of that DB. But then down the field, if you can restack and get on top of that wide receiver, get in line with that defensive back player, instead of giving them the inside leverage, giving them the outside leverage, you control the tempo and you can create a separation by either decelerating and then accelerating or accelerating and then decelerating. So there's a bit of a game to be played there in terms of leverage. Dejon Dixon, at least at his level, when he was playing at nickel, showed a penchant to be able to get that kind of open, you know, downfield threat, or even not even downfield threat, but also doing that in the short and intermediate areas. He showed that he had the mental capacity to be able to generate that type of separation. So if he's able to show all of that, and if he's able to go up there and use that 6'3", 200 plus pound frame to maybe make some big 50-50 catches that bring the oohs and ahs during the public practice squad sessions, that's going to be a big deal for Dejon Dixon. And he could be somebody that pushes for either a bottom of the depth chart roster spot at wide receiver or a very pivotal role that he can play as a consistently elevated practice squad member. Dejon Dixon is a name to remember in that wide receiver room. Coming up next, we're going to break down kind of all the things you need to think about ahead of New Orleans Saints training camp. So we'll do a bit of a Saints training camp preview. It's a little early, but I just kind of want to break things down for you. There's five categories that you can break down all of the big notable storylines for the New Orleans Saints. So we'll go over those and talk about what it is that you should be getting ready for with training camp effectively right around the corner. Then we'll wrap up with a full look at what training camp is going to be set up like, what it means, what certain terms mean, all of that, just to make sure that you're ready as training camp gets nearer and nearer. Before we get to that on today's episode of Locked On Saints, I want to tell you about our friends over at rockauto.com, the number one source for everything that you need when it comes to your vehicle. So if you're somebody that is a do-it-yourselfer, you know, I love to fix things that are manageable, right? If I can go on a YouTube video when it comes to my car and like look it up, and I feel pretty comfortable about it, like replacing a window regulator, something like that. Like, I'm all down for that. Rock Auto makes it cheap, as wild YouTube makes it easy, right? And you can also make it easy over at rockauto.com, because they'll make sure that you've got whatever part, piece, or accessory you're looking for, the tools that you're looking for even as well. You can go ahead and grab whatever it is that you need. So if you're do-it-yourselfer, it's a great site. If you're rebuilding a classic, it's a great site. If you're somebody that just wants to buy the parts so you don't have to pay for parts and labor over at the mechanic store and save yourself, the mechanic store, over at the mechanic so that you don't have to, you know, pay a ton of money to get your repairs done, this is a great resource for you as well. You can buy the part, take it, pay for just the labor. You've bought the part at a discounted wholesale rate, not at a do-it-yourselfer rate like you're going to be charged at the spot around the corner. It's fantastic. So go check it out, rockauto.com. Don't forget to let them know that Locked On sent you by writing Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Big thank you to everybody who's taken the time to congratulate, whether it be by reaching out on Twitter, reaching out via email, or reaching out in the YouTube comments about the show being named the number two sports podcast in the state of Louisiana. I very, very much appreciate all the congrats. And it's, of course, because of you. You have not only made this podcast a success, you have changed my life. So thank you for everything that you've done to show support to the show. Make sure you're also supporting our other Louisiana-based shows as well. Locked On Pelicans with Jake Madison, Locked On LSU with Caroline Fenton, both doing a fantastic job getting you ready for your other favorite teams around the great state of Louisiana. All right, we're going to jump into a bit of a preview, an early preview of New Orleans Saints training camp. This is kind of an overarching look at some of the biggest storylines that you need to know going into training camp, some of the things that could potentially progress before training camp begins. And then we'll break down training camp dates, reporting dates, all of that. The main things you need to know: rookies are reporting on the 19th, veterans are set to report around the 26th. I'll tell you why I'm saying around the 26th a little bit later. Now, when that happens, there are going to be five major categories of storylines that you're going to be watching throughout New Orleans Saints training camp. And that will lead you all the way up to the September 11th game against the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta to open up things week one for the 2022 NFL season for the Saints. Those five categories are health, the drafted rookie class, new additions, which would include free agents and the undrafted rookie class, the trenches, and the surprises. Those are your five categories when it comes to New Orleans Saints training camp. Now let's break them all down. Health, you're looking for how quickly and what does Jameis Winston look like day one that he's out there. Is he going to be somebody that still, you know, does he still have the limp? Are people still going to be talking about the limp? How is he doing in terms of his mobility? We saw him during mandatory minis, during some forms, during some of the sessions of OTAs, to where he was participating in like 7-on-7s and some of the individual drills, but he wasn't participating in 11-on-11. So is he there at the beginning of training camp? Seems likely he will be. Everything that we've heard from him, as well as Dennis Allen and others involved in the situation, seems that they expect him to be ready right away. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's like 1 week or so. In fact, there will be a week built in. We already know this because of the acclimation period, which we'll define here in a little while, that maybe things don't take off for Jameis Winston day one, but maybe they do day six. And there's a reason why you shouldn't panic if that's the case. Michael Thomas is another big one when it comes to health, right? How quickly is he out there and able to go? I think he's going to have a longer ramp up period at the beginning of training camp. No reason to really rush him out to be out there ready to go day one, day six of training camp. It might be second, third, fourth week as we get into the preseason. Joint practices with the Packers in August, like maybe those days before we really get into, you know, how much we're going to see Michael Thomas going full speed, full send. But we'll see how that all breaks down. The other three players to keep in mind: Taysom Hill, who's going to be coming back from that Lisfranc injury; Peyton Turner coming back from his series of injuries as a rookie; and then Marcus Davenport coming back from his series of offseason surgeries as well, where he had the shoulder surgery as well as the amputated pinky. So how quickly do those guys get back out? I love the story about Peyton Turner, who said he's been watching, you know, pressed up against the glass with like breathing on the glass and everything, just like itching to get back out there. So clearly he's really ready to get back out there and be a part of the impact that this team's defense can have. And we saw Peyton Turner can be an impact player when he's healthy and he's on the field. Think back to that Carolina Panthers game last year. All right, thinking about the drafted rookie class, this is pretty obvious, right? You have the five rookies that you're going to be watching, but I think there's specific things that you're watching. You're watching Olave's chemistry in the offense with Jameis Winston, with the rest of the receivers. You're watching Trevor Penning's development at left tackle and the battle going on between him and James Hurst. You're watching the Taylor competition, Alante Taylor, the cornerback drafted out of Tennessee in the second round, him and Paulson Adebo potentially competing for snaps opposite Marshon Lattimore. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. What's DeMarco Jackson's role? The rookie linebacker out of App State drafted in the fifth round. And so, where is it that he fits in? Does he push for more playing time? Where is he pushing? Is he taking more snaps at Mike Will or Sam? Like, all of those big things are going to be worth watching. And then Justin Jackson's pursuit ability should be something that leaps right off the bat when it comes to training camp. He is a very athletic interior defensive lineman, and he's not athletic in the same way that the rest of the guys on the interior defensive line roster for the New Orleans Saints are built, right? He's very, very different. He's a different style. So he'll be somebody to really watch and see, hey, does he end up picking up some playing time? Doesn't have to be a starter on that defensive line to get some meaningful snaps. When it comes to the new additions, of course, Jarvis Landry, Tyrann Mathieu, go Tigers. Marcus May, right? Those big time additions, Kentavious Street, Jahlil Johnson on the defensive interior line, all of that. Like, those guys are going to be worth watching, right? How are they fitting in as leaders when it comes to Jarvis Landry, Marcus May, Tyrann Mathieu? What's the chemistry like between Marcus May and Tyrann Mathieu and the rest of the secondary? Like, there's a bunch of different stuff to watch there, but you're definitely going to be watching those new additions. And you're also going to be watching the new additions that are undrafted free agent rookies. Abram Smith, the running back out of Baylor, who played linebacker for 2 years and then running back for his final year at Baylor and then went off for over 1,600 yards and 12 rushing touchdowns. You're looking at Dejon Dixon, who we just talked about a moment ago, and his big body, what it is that he's able to show. Can he actually push a guy for a roster spot or at least an important practice squad spot? You look at other undrafted free agents like Lucas Kroll. Lucas Kroll, not Nick Kroll, because I did that for an entire episode once. Collusion. Lucas Kroll, who is somebody that would potentially push and upset that tight end room a little bit. So the new faces, new additions across all definitions are definitely going to be worth watching and more, right? I didn't name everybody, but and more. The trenches, interior defensive line, just like we just talked about, who's going to be the guy next to David Onyemata. Interior offensive line, if Trevor Penning's looking really good at left tackle, does James Hurst compete with Cesar Ruiz for some snaps at right guard? Is Andres Pete healthy? He's another one you can add to that health category. And is he going to be ready to go? Or do you end up having some type of a shakeup on the interior offensive line? You've got a new offensive line coach in Doug Marrone, maybe not necessarily as married to any of these players as, you know, previous regime was. So could that mean some shuffling that could happen on the interior offensive line to make sure you have the best five players out on the field at all times? Interior defensive line also going to be, you know, a big one, which actually, sorry, I just mentioned, right? Who's going to be that guy next to David Onyemata? And finally, the surprises, right? What happens at running back when we learn more about Alvin Kamara and his trial and all of these other things? The hearing is set for August. Does that get continued and pushed again? We'll have to see, right? But do they bring in some tryout guys? Do we see Devontae Freeman back in New Orleans? Do we see David Johnson on another visit? Just because he didn't sign during minicamp where he had 3 days to look at him doesn't mean that he doesn't come back during training camp at some point. Do we see some other familiar faces, like even Latavius Murray, who's up there in age just like Mark Ingram is, but you know that he's been able to fit in the system before? So you'll be looking at those running back tryouts and also tryouts at different positions. We know the Saints like to look at veteran linebackers, veteran running backs throughout training camp. So those would be really interesting ones to watch out for. The UDFAs, who's the big surprise out of there as well. Somebody I don't talk about as much as I maybe should would be Rashid Shaheed out of Weber State, right? A fantastic kick returner, fantastic punt returner, big time deep threat, a lot of speed. Could he be somebody that surprises and makes some spectacular catches? Kind of think like Cyril Grayson a few years ago, to where you saw like the big deep throws from Drew Brees to Cyril Grayson that lit up Twitter and everything. So there will be a lot of those players as well to continue to watch. And then finally, the unexpected developments at tight end. And when I say that, I mean not players developing. I just mean developments, changes, things that happen at the tight end room and at the tight end position, because we just simply don't know what to expect there. Could Lucas Kroll push for a potential starting role? What are you looking at in terms of Taysom Hill's availability and potential at the position? Does Adam Trautman take a big step forward? Like, there's a lot of different things that can happen at tight end, and that's going to be a very interesting position to watch throughout training camp. So those are some of the important storylines to watch throughout New Orleans Saints training camp coming up in less than a month. But what does training camp structure actually look like? What do some of these terms mean? What's an acclimation period? Let's break all of that down so you know exactly what to expect as we wrap up with our midweek fundamentals here on today's episode of Locked On Saints. Before we get to that, I want to tell you about our friends over at BetOnline.net, the number one source for everything you need around sports wagering information, sports gambling, sports odds, all of the good stuff that you love to make those games that you're watching every night a little bit more entertaining, a lot more entertaining, all of that, right? Like, the New York Jets are the best team in New York right now, which is so weird to say, but they're underdogs in tonight's matchup. So how do you feel about that in terms of that midday matchup? And you look at the nightcap as well at the end of the day. Like, there's so much MLB still going on. Even with the Stanley Cup finals done with NHL, there's still a ton to bet on. You've got the weird sort of Le'Veon Bell and Adrian Peterson boxing match at the end of next year at Crypto Arena, or end of next month at Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. You can bet on that. I mean, there's a ton for you to get in on. So go and check them out. Bet online. You can find everything you need on your mobile device, on your laptop, whatever it is. You could check out the site live during games too, because there's live sports betting apparatuses as well, where you can kind of go with the flow of the game, maybe make a little bit of extra money in that way if you feel like a team can pull off a big comeback or something like that. There's just a bunch. So go and check it out. Bet online, where the game starts. get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thanks again, as always, for being here with us. Don't forget, we're still here 5 days a week, even throughout the off season. Most episodes will drop on the audio side at midnight the night before. But on Wednesdays, there'll probably be some day of upload just because it's a busier, Tuesdays are a busier day for me. And so just a heads up in terms of like what the upload schedule could look like. Wednesdays probably show up a little bit later in the morning, but every other day, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday should be there for you waiting as soon as you wake up in the morning. And then on YouTube, everything premieres around 10 a.m. Central. I'm trying to find the right time for YouTube uploads and things like that to just kind of maximize reaching the most Saints fans right off the bat and everything. So forgive me as I like kind of play around with upload schedule and things like that. But obviously, if you have opinions, thoughts, everything, let me know. Want to break down for you as we wrap up today's episode, kind of our midweek fundamentals. We do something that kind of breaks down, makes for the smarter football fan on Wednesdays. Today's just take it easy, talk a little bit about training camp, and break down what it is that you should expect, because there's a couple of different things that happen throughout training camps. There's sort of the shorts and shells days. There's the helmet days. There's the contact practices, which are limited by the collective bargaining agreement between the NFL and the NFL Players Association. There's acclimation periods, things like that. So let's define all of that so you know exactly what you need to know to be most prepared for training camp. So big things to know first, just general dates. July 19th, that's the date that Saints rookies report for training camp. July 26th, veterans are reporting. August 13th will be the first preseason game, which will be at NRG Stadium with the Houston Texans. The Saints will have joint practices with the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay on August 16th before their game on August 17th against the Packers. And in between that, those two dates on the 16th, you're also going to have, and you're going to see, the NFL reducing training camp rosters across the NFL from 90 to 85. So there's a step process, right? There's three preseason games. After each game, there's a step in terms of reducing rosters. So after the first preseason game and ahead of the second preseason game, you reduce from 90 to 85. After the second preseason game, ahead of the third preseason game, you reduce from 85 to 80. And then after the third preseason game and final preseason game, you go from 80 to 53. The deadline to get down to 53 is August 30th. So that's going to be a big cut day. It's going to be a very, you know, kind of big day here on the show. Like, we're going to break down all of the cuts, everything like that for the next couple of days, all that good stuff. And then September 11th is the season opener at the Atlanta Falcons. So what you need to know about what the New Orleans Saints training camp schedule is usually like, and we're officially there, Locked On Saints will be there at training camp, keeping you covered with everything. So we'll have daily pieces over at Saints Wire with our camp observations. And then I'll also bring you some live shows as well as some more in-depth pre-recorded shows in the evenings about all of the big sort of training camp style. So I kind of broke this down before. What we'll do is a live show to where I'm just going to give you a bunch of different observations, and then I'll do a pre-recorded show that will release in the evening that cover the three biggest observations so that you're getting kind of the expanse of what's going on at training camp, but also the focused outlook of the things that are most important happening at training camp too. So you can choose how to use your time. So a lot of work coming here from the show, but we're going to be grinding. We're going to be grinding. This is the number two sports podcast in the state, by the way. So we should be grinding. Like, I should be doing that. So let's keep going. The next piece for you to know about is the acclimation period, because I think that there's an expectation sometimes that veterans will walk in on the 26th and then all of a sudden they're just like helmets on and they're all out there running into one another and tackling one another. That's not the way that it works. The NFL limits contact practices and helmeted practices or fully padded practices, excuse me, to 16 between the mandatory reporting date for veterans and in the final day of off-season activities. And so you only get 16 full live contact practices. So if you're looking at the practices that are going to be open to the public, because of course there will be practices open to the public, you're going to want to go to the ones, if you want to see contact, you're going to want to go to the ones that are listed as full pads. Those are the ones that are, you know, the times where you get to see, you know, pads cracking and all the other stuff. Now, teams tend to take it easy. The Saints usually take it easy during that time. You don't really ever see anybody get brought to the ground very much. You're still not tackling the quarterback, all that. Like, you're still protecting each other, but you're getting some work in and getting the feel of full speedness. So that's really big. So you see some days that are designated as shorts and shells. You'll see some days that are designated as full pads. That's the delineation there. You're only allowed 16 of those full pad, full speed, full contact practices during training camp. The acclimation period is something that happens 5 days after you report. So when you look at the rookies, they report on the 19th. I'm not going to mess up my math here. I'm going to open up a calendar. So if they report on the 19th, so that means that the 19th through the 23rd is their acclimation period. So they're not doing any type of full speed, full contact, anything during that time, right? That's a lot of you're reporting on the first day, getting physical checks done, all of that, and then spending the rest of that time doing some on-field acclimation stuff. With the veterans reporting on the 26th, that means that the last possible acclimation day would be July 30th. So if anyone waits to report until after the 30th, they take their physical examination. If they pass their physical, then bam, they can be out there in pads, they can be out there, live practices, all of that. But if you report at any point during that final acclimation period, either at the beginning, middle, or even on the 30th, your acclimation period ends on the 30th. So just something to keep in mind that if you see, you know, a little bit of a slow start for some of the veterans while some of the rookies are starting to pick up steam, if it's during that week, there's probably a reason for it. And it's usually a fix to that acclimation period. So don't panic if you see like Jameis Winston report on the 26th and on the 28th, Ian Book is throwing more passes than him, right? Don't worry about that. That's not a big deal. So just something to keep in mind in terms of how training camp might roll out, right? There's always a bit of a ramp up period and acclimation period that gets everybody started. Usually the first day is physical examinations, things like that. Last year it was COVID testing, all that junk. Media will be out there on the 26th. We won't report during the rookie week. We'll report during the veteran week. So we'll be out there starting on the 26th. And I'm very excited to bring you all of the coverage of that. Just so you know, last year's schedule for the Saints was that they started on a Thursday in earnest, took Sundays off. So they went Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they took Sunday off. And then after that, they basically just went Monday through Saturday each week with a couple of extra days off every now and then, but usually Sundays were the day off. And of course, the 19th and the 26th are both Tuesdays in July. So that's going to kind of move things back to where it'll be like the Tuesday through Saturday will be the acclimation period with Sunday off. And then a Tuesday through Saturday for veterans will be the acclimation period with Sunday off. So we'll see how that Monday in between gets filled out. But anyway, the calendar will shake out the way that the calendar shakes out. So that's training camp. Those are things you need to know in terms of acclimation period, number of padded practices, what to look for when, if you're wanting to come to any of the public practices and you want to make sure you're coming to one that's got some pads cracking, then you want to make sure you come to the full pad practices, all of that, as well as a player to look out for in Dejon Dixon and all the storylines to keep an eye out on as well, broken out into five categories. So there you go. Now you're all set for training camp. We'll review all of this stuff as we more in depth as we get to the week before training camp. So we'll be able to keep you up to date with everything going on from that point forward as well. So much more on the way here on Locked On Saints, as we continue to keep you up to date with everything going on with your New Orleans Saints 5 days a week. Coming up in tomorrow's episode, who are the five players for the New Orleans Saints that need to be exactly as advertised in order to be successful in 2022? You look at the national outlook, and I know that a lot of people nationally sleep on Jameis Winston, but who are the other players that maybe are getting a little bit of that hype that need to be as advertised, and why Michael Thomas is one of them, and why all five of these guys are absolutely pivotal to the New Orleans Saints' success in 2022. We're going to break all of that down. Let me know who you think in the meanwhile those players are, but we got that coming up for you in tomorrow's episode of Locked On Saints. Appreciate you as always making us your first listen of the day every day. For your second listen, make sure you go and check out the Locked On NFL podcast, everything you need around the NFL in less than 30 minutes. Lots of great stuff over on that show, which is available to you on all of your favorite podcast apps, wherever you're listening or watching this show, and on YouTube as well. Appreciate you as always making me a part of your day. If you see me, say hi. I'll see you tomorrow though. So if there's anything you need around your New Orleans Saints in between these episodes, make sure you follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation. I'll holler at you.